and I'm trying to remember where we were.
Instead of to the one where it was either multiply or divide, and then okay. You hold those for extra credit to try to make it do all four operations.
Okay, that's where I thought we were. Good. So the math answer was the one we were on. So, we need to fix that one up so that it will handle everything. Okay. Addition and subtraction, in addition to multiplication and division. Okay. The four basics that you learn in elementary school, basically, will handle them all. So what we want to do to start out with is we can say up here, or plus or minus. So that tells people that they can enter an asterisk, a slash, a plus, or a minus. Okay, so then we come down in here. And what we already actually did to this one was we put in an if statement to check for the divide. So we put in a if what to do equals a slash. Okay, so if what to do equals a slash, then what we want to do is do the divide. But we wanted to ask about it and not just do it if it wasn't a multiply. We wanted to specifically ask. So now I've got to, if what to do equals a slash, do this.
Excuse me, you need two equals on the what to do, right?
Thank you, yep. Yes, please correct me as I make mistakes, because it is very rare that I type a whole program without at least one mistake. Okay, so catch me when I do it.
Why is there double equals on there again?
Because that is a comparison. A single equal is an assignment. And a double equal is a comparison. Okay? So, now I've got those two. And now I want to check for a plus. So I'm going to say else. And I'm going to say that I want to put in an if statement here that says, if what to do equals a plus. Okay, now what's going to be different about this than about the one above? Can I just write answer equals first num plus second num?
No, you have to use the parse flow or the parse
right. I have to use either parse float, parse integer, an extra plus sign, or the word number with a capital N, or some other kind of thing. So I'm going to say I want this to be an integer. So I'm going to say parse integer first num plus parse integer second num. And I have to have the capital on integer, or it doesn't work. It's very case sensitive on a lot of things. Okay, so I'm then putting a semicolon there because the calculation is done. Again, I didn't put a semicolon on the if statements because they weren't done. Okay, so now I'm saying else. And the next else is going to ask about if what to do equals a negative. Okay. Then I do a curly brace and say answer equals first num minus second num. And that covers all of the things I wanted to cover, but I now need to put in answer equals problem or something like that.
Does JavaScript have anything that's like a switch statement? As in, I don't know if you know another language, like Java?
Yes. Yes. And that's as much of an answer as you're going to get.
Okay.
Because I don't want to go there right now. So, if what to do equals an asterisk, I do one thing. Else, if what to do equals slash, I do something else. Else, if what to do equals plus, I do the add. Else, if what to do equals minus, I do the subtract. And else I have a problem. Now, have I finished? Actually, I like having a parenthesis. I missed a couple of these that I like. Covered them. Okay, so now I need to close the curly braces. And I need to close one. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm going backwards here and making sure I have the curly braces. So I've got this one, I've got this one, and now I need to close that one. Then I come up, and I've got this one. I need to close this one, so I need a curly brace to close that. Okay. I need a curly brace to close that, and that's it. Okay. So I need two more curly braces there to close the things that I didn't close yet. Oops. I'm having trouble getting my pictures, all right. I'm going to make my pictures go away. And now I can close that curly brace, and now I can close this curly brace. So what I'm trying to do here is say, if it's true, I will do this. Else, if it's false, so if it's true, I do this. Else, if it's false, I'm going to be doing all of this stuff. So inside that, I ask a second question. If it's true, this is what I'm going to do. If it's false, I'm going to do all this stuff. Then I ask another question. If it's true, I'm going to do that. If it's false, I'm going to do all that. True, false. And as I said, there are other ways to write it, but I think this clarifies the true, false more than most of the ways of writing it. What I'm doing if it's true and what I'm doing if it's false. Okay? Does anybody see any errors? I'm going to hold you responsible if it doesn't work. Okay, so I'm going to save this. And I'm going to call it all three, all four. Can't count. Okay, so I called it all four, and I'm saving it on the F drive. So now I come back, and I'm going to do a file, open file. I'm going to the F drive, and I'm looking for all four. Okay? So I'm going to enter the first number, which is going to be a 12, and then I'll do a 4. And I'm going to do a plus, and I get 16. So that worked. Okay? So now I'm going to refresh this and do a 12 and do a 4 and do a minus. And I got 8, so that works. And now I'm going to refresh and do a 12 and a 4 again, and this time put in a Z. Whoops, I didn't put in a 4, I guess.
No, you put the 4 the other game.
Okay, so I had 124?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And now I have a Z, and it tells me problem. Because I didn't put in a plus, minus, asterisk, or slash. Okay? Now, if I were really being good, I should also check the multiply and the divide. Whoops. That's not where I wanted to be. Okay, I should really check the multiply and divide first, too. Because if I'm making a change to the program, I don't want to assume that the things that used to work still work. I run into that too many times. When I made a problem, made a fix, and thought, oh, it doesn't handle the, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with that, I'm not going to check it. And whoops, that's where the problem was. So you want to basically check all of the things. So I should also check the multiply, I should also check the divide, I should check all of them to make sure that it's clean, okay? And people forget that, so when they send it to me, I test some of the things and they work, but then frequently I'll find something that doesn't work because they didn't test for everything, okay? I'm going to give you this to get started. So, that is the solution to that. So now I'm going to look at what I call if with if. So it says enter the number of points you earned. So I'm going to put in 50. And it says you can choose a prize from group B. Okay. So this one I put in and I said enter the number of points you've earned. And if my points is less than 10, I say not enough points for a prize. Else, if it's less than or equal to 50, I put out a message that says you get a prize from group B. Otherwise, I put out a message that says you get a prize from group A. Okay, so this one is a good one to show an entire flowchart because it's small. So I start, and my start is in an oval. And if you bought the book, there are a lot of examples in the book that you can look at for this kind of thing. Then I come down, and the next thing I do is I put in a rectangle where I say declare my variables. If I want to, I can list all of the variables, but lots of times this is just a guideline that I'm going to use to write the program. So I just decided to say declare the variables. Then I come down and I want a prompt, so I'm putting up the prompt. And again, I could be very specific in here and say I wanted to prompt for points. Okay. And then I come down and I say, all right, now I'm making a decision. I should have mentioned the prompt is in a parallelogram because it's I/O, input-output. So calculations declaring is done in a rectangle. The prompt is I/O, so it's done in a parallelogram. Okay, so now I'm asking, is the number of points less than 10? Okay, and if I have a lot of things I'm testing, I obviously should write the name in there of what I'm testing. Okay, but I didn't have a lot, so I could do this less than 10. If it's less than 10, if I get a yes to that, then I say no prize. If it's not less than 10, then I'm asking the next question, is it less than or equal to 50? And if it is, then I am getting a B prize. If it's not, then I'm getting an A prize. And then I close the yes and the no. And then I go back and I close the yes, it goes through things, and I close the no that goes through things, and close it up like that. Okay. Then the next thing after the yes statement is to write. So I'm putting in a parallelogram that says write, and then I am saying close or end. Okay, so I've now ended the program. So that is a complete flowchart. And people write flowcharts to help them with logic, but sometimes they just write the if statements if that's what they're concerned about. But they also write flowcharts as documentation, because somebody picking up the program can then see the documentation and know what the program has in it. So it's also used for documentation. Okay, questions? Okay, is that good? Yes. Okay, you can also have ands and ors. So on this one, I'm saying enter your name, Ann. Enter the state, MA. Okay, so this is an or statement. I'm checking to see if the person lives in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. Okay, so the two pipes mean or. So I'm checking to see if the person lives in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. If they do, then I'm going to write out a line. If they don't, I'm going to write out a different line. Okay? So I start out all by the way those two pipes are right below the backspace. And on your keyboard, they may look like there's a little space in between them, but there isn't when it comes up on the being keyed in. Okay? So I now have a flowchart where I'm saying variable, and notice what I did here. I defined the variable at the same time I got a prompt for it, and that's acceptable. I can define the variable separately, or I can define it as I'm getting the prompt. And on this one, I wrote window.prompt, and you never need to have the window.prompt, but a lot of people use it to say this is a prompt that's going to come up in the window. So it's acceptable to write window.prompt. Okay. So I've now got an or statement that says, is it Mass or is it Rhode Island? So if it's Mass, then I am going to say you live in. If it's not Rhode Island, Massachusetts rather, then I can ask, is it Rhode Island? And if it's yes, I've got the you live in. And if it's no, I have the do not live in. So the flowchart is showing each if statement separately. I decided to compound them and put them together. Now, you can only do a compound if you want to do the same thing no matter which answer you got. So if it's Mass, I want to write the same message that I want to write if it's Rhode Island. So since these are the same, I can make it a compound. If they weren't the same, then I can't make it a compound, because what would I write there? If I had a different message for Massachusetts and a different message for Rhode Island, then I couldn't have a compound, because I would have different messages. Okay? So I would have to go to simple ifs. Now, the compound, what I'm writing is, I wrote in the name, which is the name I typed in. I typed in Anne. Concatenated with you live in, and notice the spaces on either side of the you live in. It's a space you live in, space. That means that the spaces will show up when I print it. And then I concatenated that with the state. And then I could have used another concatenate. I used a comma this time to get the BR. But I could have had the plus there. Okay, I could have had the plus there. Either one would work. And then if they else that don't live in either Mass or Rhode Island, I wrote out the name and you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. And notice this time I put in a BR, which is on both of these totally worthless because I'm only writing one line. But anyway, here I concatenated or commaed to get a BR. Here I just had the BR right inside the quotes because I had a literal there anyway, and I can stick a BR into the literal. So I just stuck it in there. Okay, so what I want you to do now is to take this and write it with simple if statements. So take this program and write it out with simple if statements as opposed to compound. And you can copy and paste the rest of the program, but the if statements you need to write.
JavaScript
guess.
Oh, no, not this one. You said we can
copy and paste it. Where'd you get that? MS or Rhode Island. Yeah. Under the JavaScript examples. It says MA or RI. I want to write simple if statements. Notice that this one is testing the same field, but I would not have to have tested the same field. I could have asked if mass is, and then the R, if it was an amount, I could have had tested the amount there. It doesn't have to be the same field. Save it as a .html. Okay, there is a solution, so you can compare yours to mine. I said if the state equals mass, put out the line that says you live in. Else, if the state equals Rhode Island, put out the line that says you live in. Else, I run out of chances. It had to be the mass or Rhode Island. If I get a no to mass and a no to Rhode Island, I put out the you do not live in. Okay. And again, the BRs in this are totally a waste, because I'm not writing a second line. But if I wanted to write a second line, then they would be worth something. So let's say I wanted to put in at the bottom, after I was all done with this, I wanted to put in document write done. Okay, so now having the BRs is helpful. I want that to go down. Too many things open. Okay, so if I want to do a file, open file, and open that one again. And I'm trying to remember what I called it, Mass Rhode Island, right? Mass or Rhode Island, simple. So I'm saying enter your name, John, Rhode Island. And it says, you live in Rhode Island, and then it says, done. Okay, so by then, I needed to have the BRs, because if not, done would have been on the same line as the other things. Okay. Questions about that? Did everybody get it? Questions?
That was explained very clearly.
Why, thank you. Okay. Still have to give me homework. Okay, problem two. Anne, year of birth, 1990. Marital status, M. And I meet the criteria for Anne. Anne meets the criteria.
For
whatever. A mailing that I'm doing, a list that I'm making, whatever. So here I have an and relationship. So this is the way I'd write and. I use the two ampersands for and. So on this one, I'm asking if the year of birth is greater than 1980. And if it is, then I want to write about marital status. And I'm going to say mar equals M. And if they both do, then it meets the criteria. Because I want a list for some reason to send to everybody who was born after 1980 and is married. Okay. If I get a no to this, it does not meet the criteria. And if I get a no to this, it does not meet the criteria. Okay, looks or why there instead of an M. Okay, so if the person is born after 1980 and is married, and I put in 1990 and M. So I put in 1990 and I put M. So it was greater than 1980, so I continued on with the yes. It was M, so I continued on and wrote up the message that they meet the criteria. If I got a no to the year of birth, I immediately got not meet. If I got a yes to it, but I got a no to married, I got the not meet. This can be made a compound because these are the same. Okay? So I have a situation where those are the same. So if it is, I don't care which one I got a no to. It does not meet the criteria, and I don't care. Which one got a no? It doesn't meet the criteria. If I cared and I had different messages, I couldn't make a compound. The compound is only because the no's got the same message. Because if the no's needed different messages, then when I hit the else, what do I put? I have to ask another question and find out which is which so I know what message to put out. Okay? So this is a compound, and this works. Okay? So when I'm dealing with ands and ors, okay, on this one I have a year of birth and marital status. And there are four possibilities. Okay, those are, that's a decision table. and there are four possibilities. The first question can get a Y or an N, and the last question can get Y or N, but it's how they combine. So I can have two Ys, a Y and an N, a no and a yes, or two no's, okay? Now, in fact, I'm only showing some of those up here, because if I get one no to the birth, I really don't have to answer the second question. So I'll never see a no-no, because I don't have to ask the second question. So what this means is if I get a yes-yes, then it meets the criteria. All the others are a not meet. So year birth and marital status, both Ys, I meet the criteria. Anything else, yes and a no, no, I need two yeses. No and a yes, need two yeses. No and a no, need two yeses. So they do not meet the criteria. Okay. With the or, we had Massachusetts or Rhode Island. So in this case, Massachusetts and Rhode Island actually can't be, because they can't be from two states. But if it were two different fields I was testing, you can get a YY. I don't care which one is true, whether it's Mass or whether it's Rhode Island. So these three are the right state, or Mass, Rhode Island. This one does not meet. And actually, this is an error because I'm testing the same field. But if I was testing different fields, this would not be an error, so I kind of want to leave it the way it is. If I was testing the same field, it can't be. The same field can't have Mass and Rhode Island in it. So that's an error. But the thing is that I never ask that question, because if it's Mass, I go ahead and say it meets the criteria. If it's not Mass, then I test Rhode Island. So I'll actually never encounter a yes-yes situation. Okay. So those are the ways that you can think through yes, ands, and ors. Questions? Okay, take a minute and write this one in simple ifs. Thank you. Okay, there is a solution for this problem. I asked if year birth was greater than 1980, and if it was, then I asked, is the marital status an M? And if it was, I met the criteria. Else, if it's not, then it did not meet the criteria. And then I closed that up, and I have the other else that goes with year birth, and that does not meet the criteria. Okay. So this is what I do if the year birth is, this is what I do if the year birth is false. And then inside, I ask about marital, and that's what I do if it's true, and that's what I do if it's false. Okay. Questions on that? Anybody agree? Or anybody disagree? Now we'll see if the computer likes it. So I'm going to do, yeah, this one there, file, open file, and this was called year, I think. Year, M-A-R. So enter your name, Susan. Enter the year of birth, 19... Let's see, 70. Enter your marital status, S. It does not meet the criteria. Okay? Now if I, entered it again and entered Ann, and entered the year of birth of 1990, and entered single, then I still get does not meet the criteria. Okay? So that's the page source, and that's doing it single. Everything can be solved with simple ifs, but to make compound ifs, you have to kind of follow the general rules that are set up for them, which basically mean that the yeses have to be the same or the noes have to be the same, whichever you've got multiples of. Okay, questions? Okay. The next one, we're going to start looking at loops. So there was a couple of things that I told you. To be a program or a script, language, you have to have three things. You have to have sequence, which means it can drop down and do one instruction, then another instruction, then another instruction. You have to have decisions, which we've just been looking at, and those use an if. And you have to have repetition. Repetition is good. Which is a loop. And that's what we're going to start looking at now, is loops. Okay? So repetition is involving loops. Okay, so the first one I'm going to look at is the while loop, because that's probably the one that's used the most times. And I'm saying, how many times should I write the line? And I'm going to say 4. And it wrote the line 4 times. How clever of me. And I erased it. Now I can close that pot down. Okay. So here I have set up a variable called data input. And I've said, how many times should I write the line? Okay. And so the person is going to answer, then I answer to 4. And so then I set a counter equal to 1. So I could count how many times I was doing it. I said, well, count is less than or equal to data input. And I put in a 4 for data input. So if it's less than or equal to, when it is, 1 is less than or equal to 4. So it goes in and does document write. This is number concatenated with count, concatenated with a break. So I wrote this is number 1. Then I added 1 to count. And then I hit the curly brace, and I go back to check again. And if count is now still less than data input, and count is now 2 is less than 4, so I write out this is number 2, and I add 1 to count. So count is now a 3. When I hit the curly brace, I go back. Is 3 less than or equal to 4? Yes, it is. So I go into the loop, and I write out this is number 3, and I add 1 to count, which now gets it up to 4. I loop back. Is 4 less than or equal to 4? Yeah, they're equal. So I go in, I write out this is number 4. I add 1 to count, which is now a 5. So when I go back, I say, 5, is 5 less than or equal to 4? No. So I'm done. I drop out of the loop, and I write, this is the end. And I wanted to skip another line, so I put a BR, and then this is the end. Okay? So that is basically a very simple loop. Questions.
You're killing it in examinations.
Down. Okay, then I say, well, count is less than or equal to. Okay, so here I'm doing a comparison. And I've got some rules that I need, too. If I am doing a loop, okay, a loop has something that controls it. It has a control. And the control is going to control how the loop works. So the first thing is that I need to set the control. And in this example, my control is count. So I am saying count equals 1. That's setting the control. The next thing I have to do is I have to check or test the control. And I check it when I say, is count less than or equal to, where am I? Less than or equal to data input. This is when I check it. And the third thing is I have to change the control. And when I change it, I say count equals count plus 1. So that's adding 1 to count. My control is count. Okay. So in this case, I have a control called count. And I set it right before the loop. Now, usually I set my variables at the top. But this one I wanted to set right before the loop because it was kind of went with the loop. And so I moved it down and did it right before the loop. The other reason I do that is I tend to forget to do that if I don't do it right before the loop. Okay, if I do it up when I'm declaring a lot of variables, they can get lost in the shuffle. So I'm putting variable count equals 1. And then I say, while count is less than or equal to data input. So that's the check. And if that's not true, then it does not enter the loop. It drops to the line below the loop. So it does not enter the loop. Okay? And then, before I finish the loop, I had to change the control. So I said, take count, add 1 to it, and put it back in count. So I'm changing the control. Okay? Now this one is, I'm using count. There can be other things that can control a loop, and we'll look at those as we go along. But one of the things is I could have a total, and I could keep accumulating a total, and say I want to stop the loop when the total is greater than 1,000. So that would be one way of getting out of a loop. Another way I can get out of a loop is ask the user, enter yes or no if you want to do it again. And put the user in charge, and they can enter yes or no. Do you want to play the game again, yes or no? Okay, so the user can take control and enter a Y or an N. So those are the other ways you can make a loop. You can control a loop and you can control it with a count, with a total, or with user input, where you say to the user, do you want to play again, yes or no, or do you want to enter another number, yes or no, or whatever, but you've given the user the control. Questions? These are the kinds of nasty little questions that will show up in your final every once in a while. So, if you have questions, ask.
I repeat my line, you know, I have to try to say it's clear. You know?
That's all right. Okay.
Would it be so clutch if you had, like, a video of this? Like, I know that you have them separated online, but, oh, man.
It's probably never took a video approach. Like, did a video of the class.
Yeah, with, like, your screen.
Because I, like, the other kind, you may have different opinions. Other classes have told me that they use the SmartBoard notes a lot, right, and they don't want to have to listen to it all over again.
Yeah, fast forward to it or pause it, you know.
Or mute it. Can you mute it?
Yeah,
so much
like,
better.
Yeah, it's like for Chiana Rua, actually for her class, that she has been using Cam Studio. And
yeah.
It's more easier for me.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay. Well, you lose, because I'm not changing how I do it this semester, at least. Feedback that I've gotten before was the other way, that they wanted the SmartBoard easy to access, and that the audio they could do without unless they weren't in class.
It's just difficult to control the audio. That's
oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to kind of, oops, I think she went forward.
Yeah.
But as I said, I'm not changing it now for this semester anyway. Okay, this is another way of doing it. Okay, and this one is a do loop. So I had a while loop and I had a do loop. And the difference is where you check. So let me actually go back and bring up the while loop. Thank you. Okay, so these are the two loops. And the difference between them is where I test. On this one, I test prior to entering the loop. So if I put up there a zero when it says input prompt, how many times should I write the line, and I put in zero, what would happen?
This is the end would come up, right?
That's right. It would come down here, count as one. Is count less than or equal to zero? No, one isn't less than or equal to zero. It drops out and does a document write. So if I put a zero in there, I would get no lines. What about over here if I put a zero in?
No lines?
Nope. Where do I ask the question? I ask the question at the bottom. So I drop down from variable count equals one to the do, and that just says do. It doesn't put any condition, it just says do. So it goes in there and it writes out the line one. Then it adds one to count, so count's now up to a two. And then it checks. Is two less than or equal to zero? No. Two is not less than or equal to zero, so it will not do the loop again. But this one always does it once, or at least once. It always does it at least once. Okay, if I enter a four, it's going to go through it four times for all of them. But if I enter a zero, it will always do it at least once. And the difference here is then on this one, I check. Okay, I do my check. And then if I get a yes, I process. Which is the stuff inside. And then I go back and I check again. Okay, so I check and I process. If it's no, I'm out. Okay, so if the check doesn't get a yes, I'm out. Over here, I process, and then I check. And if I get a yes, it goes back in. If I get a no, I'm done. Okay, but I'm processing before I check. So if I process before I check, that means I get a line. Okay? If I process after I check, that means I may not get a line. Okay? No lines is because of a zero. There's no lines when it's a zero. Okay? So may not do it at all. So it may not do the loop at all. So the programmer has to make a decision. Do they want them to do the user to do it once and then check, or do they not want that? And the programmer has to make a decision. So if you have a game and you want them to at least do the thing once, you may use a do loop, which forces them to do it once. Okay? So you can make a choice as to whether you want to always do the loop at least once or whether you want to not do the loop at all. Questions? There really should be questions.
You want me to do my line again?
No, that's quite all right. I'll pass.
I really don't have any questions. I'm really sorry.
Good. So then do the homework and prove it.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not jump the gun here.
I've got too many things open. Okay, so that was a while loop, that was the do loop. There was an if with a loop. Okay, so this one has a count. And count is one. And then I said enter the number of points, so I'm going to enter 45. So total points after the add is 45. Then I say count at the beginning of the loop is now 2. And I'm going to put in 30. Oops. Enter the number of points, I'm going to put in 30. So I'm now at 75. And I say okay. And it says now count is 3. Enter the amount that you want. And I'm going to put in 25. And it says now you're 100. And then it says it's the beginning of loop 4. So I'm going to put 12. And now I'm at 112. And I'm at the beginning of loop 5. And I will put 200. I keep getting ahead of myself. So 312, and that's done. Okay, so here is the code that goes with that. So first of all, the alerts were putting up that information I was reading. Count at beginning of loop, total points after the add. That was being put up with an alert. So why do I use an alert? I use an alert to debug. Okay? I run this program that I wrote and it's not working. The points aren't being accumulated or something and it's not working. So one of the ways that I can check is say, okay, every pass through the loop, I want to know what count is and what total points is. And so if I put up an alert that tells me what count is and tells me what total points are, then I can kind of watch the progression and discover, wait a minute, I'm never adding to total points. It's always staying the same. Or, wait a minute, I'm doing something else. I'm subtracting it instead of adding, or whatever. But it helps me to figure out what's going on. Once the program is working, I'll take those alerts out because they're a pain in the neck, okay, to keep popping up and giving me information. But they're good if I run into a problem to stick the alerts in, if I run into especially a logic problem where I'm just not getting the answer that I know I should be getting. So, in this particular one, I'm saying, well, count is less than or equal to 5. So it forced me to enter in data 5 times. Then I started out and I said the alert, and then I said prompt for input points. And I put in the input points. And it says take those, and I only want to deal with half integer numbers. So I said parse integer. And this is how you accumulate, okay? I'm saying I want to do an accumulation. I want to accumulate. So I say take the total, add to it the input, and it gives you back the total. And these are the same fields. So take the total, add the input to it, and put it back in the total. Next time through, take the total, add the input to it, put it back in the total. And it keeps growing and accumulating. So that's what I'm doing here. Taking the input, adding it to the total, putting it back into the total. And then I say add one to count. Parse integer is not needed there, but I keep getting that question, why doesn't it need to be there? The browsers have figured out that if one of the things you're adding is a number, then probably you want to do an add and not a concatenate. So count equals count plus one works because I am saying take count, add one to it, and put it back in count. But if you're a coward, you can always do a parse integer on count, and then it's guaranteed to work. Okay? Basically, if they change the rules of the browser, I'm in trouble on a lot of things. So this one would be fine with the rules of the browser. So here I have a loop. And once I've gathered all my points in the loop, now I want to check. So I'm saying if total points is less than 10, put out a message that says not enough points. Else, if it's equal to 50, less than or equal to 50 rather, group B, otherwise group A. So this is like a question that I did before, but this time I'm accumulating points and then checking the points that I accumulate. Okay? Questions. Okay, we're going to look one more, and then I'm going to have you do one. Okay, the next one is final totals. So enter the points that player one earned. We'll say player one earned 45. Player two earned 23. Do you want to play again, yes or no? Okay, so this is an example of user input. Okay, where I'm saying user gets to decide whether they want to do this again. So I put a Y for yes, and it has 12 and 12 this time. Do you want to play again? No. So player one is a 57, and player two is a 35. Okay, this time I did something a little bit different. I did a parse integer as I was taking in the data. And by doing a parse integer as I was taking in the data, when I did the add, I didn't have to worry about it. Okay, so when I did a parse integer as I was taking in the data, then I could just do a plain ordinary add. Because it knew it was a number already, so it kind of follows that if there's one number, it must mean add. So on this, I set continue program equal to Y. And then I checked, is continue program got a Y in it? If it does, do the loop. And then at the bottom, I said, do you want to play again, Y or M? So if they enter a Y, it will do it again. If they enter an N, it won't do it again. What happens if they enter a Z?
No criteria.
What?
Stop the loop because it's not a Y.
Yeah, it won't do the loop because it's not a Y. The only thing I'm looking for is a Y. Anything other than a Y, it won't do it again. Because I'm saying do while it's a Y. And it has to be a capital Y, notice. There is a difference between capital Y's and lowercase y's. Okay? So this program puts out who the players. I'd like you to go in now, change this program so that it tells who the winner is. Okay? So go in, take this program and modify it so it tells who the winner is. Now, how many possibilities are there for a winner?
Four.
How many?
Two.
How many?
Three.
Three. Because what about a tie? Player one can win, player two can win, or it can be a tie. So there's three possibilities. Now, if there are three and only three possibilities, how many questions do I have to ask? Two. Because if I get a no to both of them, it's the third thing. So I only have to ask two questions to find out, what's it, three possibilities. So go in and change this so you know who won. Now add in the code that will tell who won. Not the way to get good points.
I know,
okay. I didn't actually recognize the time. So sorry, Evan. But anyway, try this and we'll go over it first thing Thursday. But try it just for your own sake. Okay? I didn't notice the time. Or actually, I did. I just thought it didn't end until 12:30 for some reason. That's when the next one begins.
So I'm taking my kids to the ice castle, so I'm not going to be going
to. Okay. That's quite all right.
I don't want to miss class. This is the last thing I want to do, but...
Very good. What's the ice castle?
It's in New Hampshire. It's like this big, huge... Like, I don't really know, but it's an attraction made of, like... they do ice sculptures, like this igloos and slides and lights.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's really cool. It looks super cool. I'm going to pull it up and show you. So, I got a, like, really nice hotel. It's little, you know? So, I'm like, where are we going to go on vacation? And they're all excited.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking.
We're going to go during the week so that...